Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint Reach.
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, December 19th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we reached out to our social media followers and asked them which game they'd like to see developed into a movie or TV series. That discussion is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with Epic Games. Epic Games has had a dynamite year with the explosive popularity of its game Fortnite. On a previous episode, we talked about rapper 2 Milly suing Epic Games for stealing one of his dances. And when we did, we warned that this could be the beginning of a dogpile onto Epic. And it looks like that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, the dog pile, as it were, has really begun. We've now got three people who are looking into starting a lawsuit against Epic Games. In addition to 2 Milly, we have Alfonso Ribeiro, well known
for Carlton.
Everyone knows immediately the Carlton dance, but here's the problem. The Carlton dance is available in Fortnite.
Yeah.
And Alfonso Ribeiro's not making any money for that. And more recently, we now have Backpack Kid.
The floss dance.
The floss dance, exactly.
Now, this is where everyone went, okay, here's the dog pile, because it's arguable that the floss dance may not have been as popular or widely known as it is
without
Fortnite. Same with, I mean, maybe not 2 Milly so much. That was around for a little bit, and that they kind of co-opted that one a little bit. I think 2 Milly has a little bit of a case here. But, you know, with Alfonso Ribeiro, I don't know.
He's a professional dancer.
No,
since
but
he was
here,
a kid.
Here's the.
But
here's
it,
the,
it really depends on what the onset creation of that moment was, right? Like, if that's something that he had in his arsenal of like stuff that he could pull out at a party, maybe he does own it. But if it was something that was workshopped and made through the process of making that TV show, I don't know that he owns that.
Well, the thing is you know, I've been on social media talking about this to a few people. And there's two camps. There's the camp of, you know, anything that you make up that is yours that somebody else can't prove that they made it, you should be getting paid for it. That's that camp. And there's another camp that says you can't trademark something that's like extemporaneously created, right? That's just like, oh, dance. You know, you can do words because you write them down and they exist the way they are pretty much forever.
Right.
You can trade same thing for music. A dance can kind of modify, if you will.
Yeah, but dances can be also be very regimented, too. There are entire performances that are strictly
now,
dance, and they're not improvised. They are very strictly choreographed, and that takes, as someone who has dated a dancer, that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort.
Inappropriate.
But the
thing is, she's a choreographer.
No, but and that's really where I see a lot of people also drawing a legal line, and maybe that's a legal line that may be drawn. Is it something that's choreography that was made specifically for a show or performance?
Right.
That probably could be trademarked. Now, my personal opinion on it is, hey, you know what? If you made something up and you could prove you were the first one to do it, then you should be getting paid for it. I can really care less what it is. But I understand the legal slippery slope that then, you know, begins to create. And that's sort of what we're seeing here with Epic, is there is a dog piling of it, but they've already capitulated on one of these types of cases where it was her name?
The Electric Shuffle is
yes.
The dance in question, but they have apparently settled out of court with a dancer, Gabby David, who was the one who created the Electric Shuffle. She actually came out on Twitter saying that they settled behind doors.
And you know what? As soon as that is a record of public knowledge,
yep.
Like as soon as the public gets a hold of that, anyone else who has a dance that may have been co-opted by Epic Games is going to come out of the woodwork with their hand open.
Yeah, and the first time I read that, I said to myself, oh, that's because either they know they would lose that in court,
yeah,
or there's some sort of legal loophole that's present that Epic's lawyers know about, and they would just rather say, okay, just here. Here well, you go.
I mean, that's the thing is that either, like, if a dancer is only known because a dancer has done it, like, think about the Carlton, right?
Or the moonwalk.
Or the moonwalk, sure. But the moonwalk is used in a hundred thousand different things.
There's video of people from the 80s, breakers in the 80s in New York.
That were doing the moonwalk first, yeah.
Doesn't Napoleon Dynamite do the moonwalk in his dance at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
That's something that's been around for a long time. But when you think of something like the Carlton, without Alfonso Ribeiro, that dance is...
Probably doesn't exist.
Means nothing.
Didn't Backpack Kid just put out a video where he mimics the Napoleon Dynamite dance?
Probably.
Doesn't that seem a little ironic here?
Oh, no. Well, that's the thing is that, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Is kind of the rule that's being applied
but
here.
But here's the biggest thing in all of it is that when you copy somebody's dance, you're probably not making money off of it.
That's true. And I think that that's the mechanism at play that makes it legally distinct from other cases. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 FM in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently talking about the dogpiling of lawsuits on Epic right now, and I think that this is unfortunate because, you know, if you're anything that you make, if it's wildly popular, if it succeeds and it makes money, instantly anyone who has had feels like they have a stake in that, or that they feel like their, you know, piece of property was taken to make that successful, despite the fact that, you know, as we were talking about with Backpack Kid, that it's a little bit more symbiotic than they're going to come out of the woodwork saying, yeah, I want my cut.
Well, and again, the biggest point with this is that you have to be able to prove that you're losing money. That's one of the main things with stuff like this. You have to prove that Epic is making money at the expense of something that you have created to make money. So I think in the case of like Backpack Kid, he may not have, well, he may actually have more of a case than people would give him credit for. Because that's
his,
what
his income is
for,
driven by hits and clicks.
Yeah, yeah. And his income is driven by that. So I think for something like that, that is, you know, something, a mechanism that could be used.
But I mean, isn't
them
it, isn't it arguable that with Epic putting it in a game and not simply just making a video of it and putting it on a YouTube, that they are doing something incredibly unique and inherently unique to Epic Games or just game development?
Well, I think this is where this opens another can of worms, because Backpack Kid's lawsuit also names 2K Games in this, because that move is also incorporated in the NBA 2K games. So we're starting to see this, you know, attack on Epic. This could begin to spill over into other franchises. Imagine if they start going after something like World of Warcraft for their dances, or if they start going after League of Legends.
But I think
as dances,
if those dances are not sold in a cash shop, that make, you know,
that also
that,
changes
that case,
it quite a bit.
That case becomes a lot easier to throw out.
I don't know. I mean, again, this, you know, this is all very complicated intellectual property law that is going to need a judge to step in and make some decisions here, because, yeah, I do think that there are some instances where Epic may have overstepped, but I think some of these lawsuits are also overstepping as well. And it's, I'm going to be genuinely interested to see how this works its way through the court system. But listen, we want to hear from you. If you're Epic Games, what do you do now? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we reached out to our social media followers to find out what game they'd like to see turned into a movie or TV series. We'll share our answers and get yours coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
Well, since the holidays are coming up, we got to bring you a Christmas special.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook, Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you if you could guarantee that it would be well done, what game would you like to see adapted into a movie or TV series? Before we get your responses, I got to know from the room, what have you always wanted to see up there on the silver screen? Norris, feel like you would have a pretty interesting response.
I mean, you know what? There's a lot. You know, of course, you got the cinematic games, The Last of Us and
sure,
Red Dead and all those kinds of things. But there's always a game that I wanted to be made into a movie because it'd be so bizarre.
Okay.
The Bouncer.
Oh, come on.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
It basically, think about it, it basically is The Warriors, but weirder. That movie, The Warriors, with the gang fighting.
I remember The Warriors.
It's the Warriors, but really, really, really weird.
Does anyone?
They end up in space by the end.
What?
Does anyone clink bottles together on their fingers?
No, but they should.
Then it's not The Warriors.
It is The Warriors.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I have so little context for The Bouncer. I've played like 19 seconds of it before I went, well, this is incomprehensible, and decided to put it away. I think I got it for free. Or no, I got it for the Final Fantasy demo that came with it. I think that's the reason that I bought that game. Anyway, Joe, what would you want to see made into a TV series or movie?
Okay, so I know this is going to be kind of a weird answer, but honestly, I would love to see a TV series of Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
A TV series?
The movie didn't work at all. We concede that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the movie absolutely was abysmal. The movie that I would, but if you did a TV series of Assassin's Creed, I feel like, you know, it's a weekly sort of thing. Every week we have to go back to a different period and like do something differently.
That would totally work in the 90s too.
That would be a different time period every week?
Yeah. Dude, that would be the most expensive TV show
ever.
Now, what
you do? You make a mini series.
Like, how would you even costume that?
You would do them.
You'd have to do
it. It'd be exorbitant.
It would be. But I mean, like, yeah, mini series, and then like each season is set in a different time period.
Yeah,
I could see that.
That would be
pretty cool.
A Netflix miniseries, yeah. And that's how you do it, because every season of the Netflix show, you go and check out a different time period.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you could do.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Robbie, what about you?
I'm going to swerve, and this is going to be an anime. And I'm going to go with, yeah, you heard me. And I'm going to go with Mass Effect. And the reason I want it to be an anime, because then you got to worry about the budget for it being a sci-fi film.
Okay.
Right? Because that would be way, way, way too crazy. And I would actually set it a couple hundred years after the Mass Effect series, right? Because then that way the characters can actually refer back to stuff, but it's been so long from character to character, what they heard could be different. So you don't have to worry about that. Well, I made this choice in my game and that's not right.
That's kind of clever, a standard canon.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that. For me, this may seem a little bit obvious, but I've always wanted to see. Here's the thing, though.
I have a caveat here, though.
It's not just the like one of the Metal Gear games or something that's been, you know, adapted as a movie, but more along the lines of I want to see Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 retold as a movie.
Oh, I would love that.
Like, and then fit it into the canon the way that those stories should have been told, right? We'll never see them as a satisfying game ever. No. I've given up on that. That's never going to happen. But I think they could be done as movies, and I think that they could be done pretty well, especially Metal Gear 2. Metal Gear 2 is already a cinematic game that was made as an 8-bit game, which is mind-blowing as it is. But it also, I think it would make for a really, really compelling film. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140 in Alaska. We've also got Voice of the People, Sarah, joining us. Sarah, before we get into these responses, who would you, what game series would you like to see made into a movie or TV series?
I am so torn about this. I was deciding before I was even here, and I have these two choices I have to bring up.
Okay.
On the one hand, I kind of want to see Undertale as like an anime series. On the other hand,
anime miniseries.
Yeah, yeah. On the other hand, I really want to see one of David Cage's games be put on the screen, directed by anyone but him.
He doesn't get to do it.
Exactly.
But I want to see that still, out of pettiness.
He would still have the satisfaction of seeing one of his games made as a movie.
But he didn't direct it. Yeah. And that's what matters to me.
I guess. All right, let's take a look at some of our social media responses and see what you guys were saying.
Let's see. Over on Facebook, we have Colton who says, Brutal Legend. I need Jack Black running around slaying demons with an axe and the power of music.
Is that not just Tenacious D?
I was about to say, that's literally that movie.
Yeah, you have that movie.
And I believe, actually, that they're working on a sequel.
They are,
yeah.
You're getting that movie again.
Also by Steven from Facebook, who says, I think Mega Man 10 would be a great vehicle for exploring themes like AI and xenophobia.
X!
You're going to eventually get that wish, too, because I'm pretty sure there's a Mega Man movie.
There is a Mega Man movie in
production.
Please
don't say that.
I see that going.
I've heard it. I've heard rumors of this.
And I see it going the route of Sonic. I'm sorry.
This would be terrible.
I think it would be a little bit more of a literal adaptation. Although I like what Steven is getting at. Mm-hmm. I do think that those would be really awesome themes for a Mega Man type, movie to explore.
Reploids and all that
but
stuff.
I mean, like, it would be so, I don't know. It would also be so serious that I'm not sure that, I don't know how you balance the tone
with the
look.
Style.
Exactly.
Also still on Facebook, Todd gives a strange suggestion to me, which would be Xenosaga and Kingdom Hearts.
Those are both horrible ideas.
No.
I mean, I could have...
No. Xenosaga is pretty close to an anime as it is, I could see that
with
maybe working.
2 hour cinematics in between the 10 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Also from Facebook, Joseph says, my first thought was to go with Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross. It would be a good live action movie or series. They would just have to CGI Frog in it like they do Rocket in the Marvel movies.
I don't want to see Chrono made into a movie.
I would want to see Chrono Trigger done by Akira Toriyama as an anime.
You know, because what? I take it back. I do want that.
Because when they went back and did some of those animated scenes for the PlayStation 1 re-release, they were so satisfying and awesome. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Not as a live action movie. I don't know. Yeah. That one went off the rails a little bit.
Also, still on Facebook, Bill says, honestly, I'd want Mass Effect done as a TV show. Anime or live action, I don't care. I just want an epic space opera sprawl out from that universe.
Make it Star Trek.
That's basically Star Trek.
Make it Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, it's a more involved version of Star Trek. I think that's what Mass Effect is, right? Like,
pretty much.
Yeah. If you were going to boil
Trek
it down.
Magic.
There you go. Fair enough.
Looking over at Twitter, we have Enyo that says, Borderlands for sure.
Borderlands would be interesting.
Borderlands might not be terrible because they've got some really awesome characters. Sarah, one more.
Let's see. We've got over here an Instagram from Gunter, who says Resident Evil 1 with the cast looking like the original actors, but with high budget and a better script.
Okay.
I like this one where they've taken a movie that happened and they're like, okay, but this time I get to promise that it's going to be done well.
RE1 is the best Resident Evil that could be a movie.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that. All right, that's all the time that we have for here on Checkpoint XP. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the news desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
Back BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.